You know those like cheesy songs that they always have in this like newer Sonic games, where it was like, "Yeah, Sonic, reach for the stars and fly," that kind of thing.
Yeah, let's see. You got your Sonic Heroes theme, you've got the City Escape, and you've got Open Your
Yeah,
Heart,
don't
which are
name them
three of
all
the
or
greatest
anything.
songs ever.
But yeah, that's what I want to say. I actually kind of like those songs.
I know.
I think everyone seems to hate them a lot.
Yeah, I actually remember as a kid, because I actually thought that City Escape was a legitimately good song, I tried to get all my friends to listen to it, and they relentlessly made fun of me for it.
Right. I can see that happening. I don't know. I guess, I mean, history has shown I don't have great music taste by everyone else's standards. But whatever. Podcast for November 12th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Ajguy.
We're back.
Yeah, we're back. We had a week off from, you know, travel and trips and all that sort of stuff, but here we are, regardless.
There's a five-day period there where the Minotti boys sounded really successful and impressive to people who don't know us.
Yeah, but not so much. Anyways, so normal show, got some news. It sounds like we don't have a whole lot of news.
Yeah, it's starting to get that kind of quiet holiday lull where it's just a lot of games are coming out.
But I'm sure it'll be an exciting segment anyways.
Of course.
Yes.
And thank God we took a week off.
Yeah, then we got the quiz, right? But you made the quiz. It's for
I
me.
Made the quiz this week.
Did you make it like unnecessarily hard?
No, I
revenge?
Think you have a fighting chance with this one,
we'll
actually.
See. Not that I'm on the other side, but can I just say that the whole having to get 5 points thing is unfair and unrealistic?
Indeed it is.
But oh well.
But you still have to.
Those are my rules. After that, let's go topical. We'll talk about the games we've been playing over the past 2 weeks now and do the releases, and that'll be the show. So let's get cracking.
All right. On the news front, the big news story of the last 2 weeks, the sudden departure of Kaji Inafune from Capcom.
I still don't understand why.
Yeah, it's...
I read like a 5-page interview with him, and I still don't understand why.
Yeah, it's very baffling. I mean, he's been kind of the outspoken critic of Japanese development and how much it basically sucks, in his opinion.
Right.
But what's strange is, in the last few months, we get Mega Man Universe and Mega Man Legends 3 Project, which is like apparently his dream game that he wanted to make for the last like 10 years. And, like, not only were these games announced and he's working on them, but he was, like, in the promotional materials for them with his whole little speeches at the end, and, you know, the whole, yo, well, the mega fight! Like, I mean, he was very much on the public face of those projects. And then he just left.
Do you get the feeling there's maybe something more personal here?
Oh, there has to be.
Like,
I mean,
he got into a fight with someone. And, like, I mean, I know, like, he wants to play it up as a totally creative thing, but I don't know. I don't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, he talks about how he felt he got as high as he could go in Capcom, and it was time to move on. But, again, like I said, do that after you finish these two games that you've apparently been wanting to work on.
Well, he indicates he doesn't even want to move on with, like, games, right? Or does he want to...
No, like, a lot of people are speculating that he may want to create his own studio, and, in fact, may even want to, work with Capcom as, like, a publisher, which is why he's not burning any bridges.
Hmm. Why doesn't he just come work for a studio in the West, since he loves them so much?
Might happen, you never know.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, it was very baffling. Like you said, there had to be some inciting incident for this to go down as suddenly as it did.
Do you ever wonder, like, just how important these sort of, like, super kind of, like, you know, idolized Japanese developers are? Like, how important is Iga for Castlevania? How important was Inafune for Mega Man?
Well,
Miyamoto for Mario and Zelda sometimes.
Here's my point to you, is so many of the big names in Japanese gaming have been there since the 80s. There's not a ton of fresh faces, I guess, in that field.
Right.
Like, maybe Suda51, which I hate calling him that, but I don't know what his name actually is. Like, he's like the youngest guy I could think of in Japanese game development. Even he's been around now for, what, 10 years?
Right. But I still wondered, like, what exactly their function is. Like, the closest we ever got to seeing, like, what a Japanese director does for a video game was some of the bonus features that came for Metal Gear Solid 4, and mm-hmm. you saw a lot of Hideo doing work, and I was like, okay, so that's kind of what he does. It's just, it's kind of abstract to me. Like, well, Shigeru Miyamoto is, you know, the producer for Mario Galaxy. What does that mean? What does he contribute to it? And I'm not trying to say, like, oh, Mario doesn't need Shiggy, because, you know, no. But it's, you know, I wonder if sometimes it's like anything else, where you kind of throw the credit onto one guy and he gets a lot of it, even though, you know, you have a whole staff and a whole studio that the whole project was very dependent on. Basically, what I'm saying, or I guess I'm going to try and get it, is I'm sure these projects that Inafune left behind will be just fine.
Well, you know, he could still contribute to the development of Mega Man Legends 3 because it's open to everybody.
Oh my gosh. I still don't like that, by the way.
Yeah, no, I like how we got the vote on the design for the one character. Like, just, you guys pick one.
Yeah,
I don't
I
care.
Like, well, what's this character like? I mean, because, like, these characters all look like they had very different personalities.
Yeah.
But now you get the vote for the Tron, the Bond family's new robot.
See, I couldn't even give two shits. I haven't even been paying attention to it.
I still say that Mega Man Legend games were a bunch of sevens.
Oh, let's not go down that well again.
Sorry.
Let's move on.
Those were the epitome of sevens. I'm sorry. All right, let's move on.
All right, let's move on to my next story. As everyone kind of figured, NBA Elite 11 is, in fact, canceled.
Poor Kevin Durant.
Yes.
He's going to be on the cover.
Well, now that guy who... Remember, there's that guy who had an actual copy of it, and he sold it early in case, like, it did came out, then it would be worthless in a few months anyway. I bet he's wishing he hung on to that.
Yeah. Wow. That's, like...
Well, yeah, that's the thing. The game is out there. People do have it.
Really?
Well, yeah. It was done. And then they were like, hang on. So we're gonna redo this. But some copies got out. Like, I mean, pressed, manuals, cases, everything.
That's going to be a rare thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you'll get it, and you'll be like, oh, this is just a basketball game.
Right. So what's happening is EA Vancouver, who is developing this, is being kind of shut down.
That's usually what happens when you make a game that's deemed so poor that they don't want to ship it.
Well, apparently, too, a lot of the issue is EA's been doing this across all their studios, really looking to move their studios to cheaper parts of the country where the cost of living is lower. That's why they're looking at places like Colorado and... places that really don't have a gaming development community now, and I think they want to create one.
We need to promote Youngstown, Ohio as a place for future game development.
Oh, yeah. You guys want a cheap place to make games? Come to Youngstown. We got that incubation center downtown.
We've got all sorts of empty old steel mills.
Wow, you might be honest on it. Let's write some letters. Yeah. Let's do a letter writing campaign. It'll be great.
Anyway. Like that episode of The Simpsons where people were making movies in Springfield because it was cheap.
Flim Springfield. They don't even need proper spelling. Anyway, the game series NBA Elite Now 12, which will happen, presumably, is being handed off to EA Tiburon in Orlando. So now they are making, let's see if I remember all this, Madden, NHL, NBA Elite, MMA, Tiger Woods.
I don't get that. That seems like too many games.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they're going to hire more staff. It's not like the guys who make Madden, like finish Madden, like, okay, to the NBA game, quick,
well,
quick.
It must be pretty easy when you're basically making updated versions of games.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that contributes, but it's not just like the same 20 guys making all of these games. It's a really big studio.
Right.
With like different teams and on it. So.
They don't even make a baseball game.
I know.
That's
imagine
weird.
They did. I miss MVP baseball. That was good.
How do you miss any baseball game when we have the best baseball game series ever?
Well, I understand that. I understand that. The MLB The Show is phenomenal.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, you never played MVP. The last MLB version they did. Then they tried to do a college version. It just wasn't good.
I don't think anyone cares about college baseball. Except for people whose kids are in college baseball.
Right. Well, the problem was, to go on a quick tangent, they didn't, like, rate them as college players. They were rated as really bad MLB players. Like, no one's rating in the game was, like, higher than 75.
Well, that's just kind of
yeah, it was really
weird.
Stupid. You could tell that they were like, shit, we lost the MLB license. College. Do that. Real quick. Go.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, let's move on. The Hulu application for PS3 is now out in the wild. I don't have a Hulu Plus subscription at the moment, but I did try some of the sample videos. It works. It's very nice.
Are they in HD?
Yeah, if the video content was. It's nice that you actually, because you know how like Netflix apps, it's just automatic. You can leave it to auto, but you can also force it if you want.
What do you mean force it?
like, there's two different HD streams, one slightly higher quality and then an SD.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there may be more buffering, but if you really want an HD, no
matter
what.
I get you.
But I actually watched all of, they have some sample videos you can watch if you don't have an account, and I watched Carl Sagan's Cosmos.
Carl Sagan, oh my
god. Oh, I know, it was great. I was having a good old time watching that.
You know, I hope everyone out there has seen the video where someone remixed some Carl Sagan.
No, this is the one that was remixed, the Cosmos.
But, like, oh, well, but it wasn't the song, was it?
Wait, no, I mean, it's an episode from a series.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying, but, like, I'm saying everyone needs to see the song.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the song's awesome.
It's called Still More Glorious Dawn, I think.
Something like that.
Still More Glorious Dawn awaits.
It's just funny, we're completely off track here, but why
not? Yeah, yeah, why not? You claim there's not much news,
but
I'm stretching it.
Like, you're watching it, and, like, he says something like, you know, the Earth is the cosmic shore or whatever, and I'm like, I know that from the song, and it sounds weird because now he's just saying it.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Now, see, that was not in this episode. I was sad.
That's a great line.
but the spaceship from the music video was in this one for the first half, so I was very excited.
He had a nice space. Okay, we're really getting. Let's go.
Yeah, let's keep going.
I had to say it. He has a really nice looking spaceship in that show. Next.
Yeah. Okay.
Very clean.
So Cryptic Studios, guys who make Star Trek Online, Champions Online, they announced that Champions Online is going free to play. Very exciting. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. They have said that if that is successful, they would be willing to make Star Trek Online free to play. So everyone go play Champions Online if it becomes free to play.
Star Trek Online is going free to play one way or the
other. Yeah, I know.
It's happening.
I like that game, but not enough to pay $15 a month on top of my WoW subscription, unfortunately.
Right.
You know?
I like it too.
The battle every MMO has.
I was really enthusiastic about it, but like it's just like
it was really fun for 2 months, and then it just kind of became like a little repetitious, I guess.
A little repetitious and not as well structured as a WoW, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was kind of
the challenge with any space MMO is space is kind of monotonous.
Right.
In the long run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thrill of it was, like you said, that first day we were playing it, where you just typed to me, oh my god, we're in Star Trek.
Right, that's kind of the thing, and, like, you know, the first space battle was awesome, but then, like, the 200th, though.
But to go to my next story, they announced that they are bringing, much like City of Heroes had, player-created missions to the game.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
Could be good.
I never really tried that in City of Heroes. I don't know if that's a good thing.
I know Pete played a lot of it. He really enjoyed making missions.
Okay. I mean, I guess it sounds like a good idea. I feel like there's a lot of people who would like want to spend a lot of time making kind of weird Star Trek levels in a video game.
Well, I'm sure there's the guys out there who do things that are completely in canon and completely accurate to every nth degree, and someone will try to make the mission that's about bringing Kirk back to life.
I want to make the mission where, like, me, Spock, Data, and Odo have to go fight future Nazis. That's what my mission is.
Take that, canon. That.
Also, hey, it's in a parallel universe.
You could come up with a perfectly plausible explanation for that.
Sure, whatever. It's in the afterlife, and they're all dead now, I guess. Eventually.
Or, you know, if all else fails, it's just a holodeck thing.
Oh, yeah. That's a good... Actually, is that... That should just be, like, what these player missions are in. They should just be in a holodeck. That would make a lot of sense.
You just, wow, yeah, that way they don't have to worry about canon. Yeah. Well done. You should get a job.
I've solved that problem.
For Cryptic.
Although, anybody who's a Star Trek fan or a Star Trek writer knows how to solve every problem with the holodeck.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're not talking about games again. Let's next.
Once again,
we're in science fiction. Moving on.
Shit, the next story's about Mass Effect.
Oh, just skip it then, I guess.
No, it's a good one, though.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So as we come upon the game's eventual PS3 release, there was a little confusion because it was talking about how it came with 7 hours of content. People didn't know if that was exclusive content or what. BioWare went on to confirm it is like the DLC, the Shadow Broker, the Operation Overlord, and Kasumi's Memories. Mm-hmm. All phenomenal pieces of DLC. They didn't go into detail about it, almost like I get the sense this guy wasn't supposed to say anything yet, but it sounds like what they're going to do as a way to kind of catch you up with Mass Effect 1, which is not for the PS2, or PS2, PS3 in any way, it's going to be an interactive digital comic. So it'll be like, you know, one of these digital motion comics retelling the events of Mass Effect 1, but where all the key decisions happen, you'll still get some say in it, so that you can then shape it the way you want.
Right, so I guess it's good for, like, a lot of the big decisions in the game.
Right,
like,
and hell,
who's
I mean,
alive and...
They didn't, it sounded like the way they were reading it, they didn't discount the possibility of eventually releasing this for PC and Xbox, which would be great. Because, like, I'd love to do more Mass Effect 2 playthroughs, but I'd really want to do Mass Effect 1 so I can make those decisions.
Right.
But Mass Effect 1's not as good as Mass Effect 2. Still good, but not as good. So now I could just skip it.
Yeah, there's still a lot of little things, though.
Yeah, there are, like, but the little things, they don't have as much of an overall world effect. They're more like you get an email from some character talk to in Mass Effect 1, and that's cool.
I guess.
It's probably the best option they could have.
No, it's actually a pretty creative solution. I'm proud of them.
I'm sure they appreciate that. All right, quick, let's move on before we hit another tangent. Harmonix. We have a bunch of stuff going on with them. Let's get the big one out of the way first. Viacom has apparently just come out right and said they are actively trying to sell Harmonix off. I cannot figure this out.
I don't understand what that means.
Like, I think, like, they're just worried now that the music game market has bubbled, which everyone kind of figured.
Remember when I told you that this would be the last Rock Band and the last Guitar Hero this year?
A lot of people now are starting to agree with
you.
Well,
apparently Viacom's listening to my podcast, because...
Yes.
Like, oh no, Mike said that we're screwed, guys. Let's get off this sinking ship. Anyways, continue.
So yeah, I mean, like, they're trying to sell it to someone. They're going to continue funding and running the company until they do sell it. So they're not like... They're not saying, F you guys, you're on your own now. It's like, you know, we're going to find you a good home, but we're still going to feed you and pet you until we do. So that's nice of them. According to Harmonix, for them, it's still business as usual. They're going to continue supporting Rock Band, Dance Central. None of that's in trouble. So yeah, there's that. Then we move on to the slippery slope now of what's going on with DLC as far as Rock Band 3 goes. There's a lot of weirdness happening here, and some of it I'm not a big fan of. Basically, moving forward... All future DLC being released. This was the case, apparently, the day Rock Band 3 came out, but they really didn't say anything about it. The DLC will no longer work with Rock Band 1 or 2 moving forward, which is stupid to me. Mm-hmm. Their reasoning for it is, okay, so you're adding the keyboard and the harmonies. I understand that, but you think, like, you could also just cut it out. And then they're also saying there's, like, new, you know, for all the background video stuff, there's different cues and everything that aren't in those games. Like, you'd think you'd find a way to make that work. Because now you're basically taking your seemingly lucrative DLC business and starting it over.
Right.
You know, you take away that entire install base you had from Rock Band 1 and 2, and now you have to build that base up from scratch to continue selling DLC.
How lucrative do you think that business was?
I don't see, that's my next thing. I always kind of figured it would be. But then you see Viacom selling them off, you're like, oh, maybe they're not making as much of DLC as we thought.
Let's say it this way. If they're going out of the way to hike up prices on it, it can't be that lucrative. Maybe all this Rock Band DLC has not been the cash cow that we all assumed it was.
Well, this is the next thing now. This is where I still have some confusion with this. This week they released a Bon Jovi Greatest Hits collection.
Yes.
Included in that collection were the songs Wanted Dead or Alive, Living on a Prayer, and You Give Love a Bad Name, which are available in Rock Bands 1, 2, and Lego Rock Band, respectively. Now, these new versions have keyboard and harmony support, which was not available before, but you still have to, like, buy them for $2 or as part of the pack. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't... It has been made really clear from what I'm reading. Is that, like, let's say... I don't know, pick a song that was DLC. The Iron Maiden stuff, for example, that was pure DLC. Wasn't on any of the disc. If they wanted to go back and add keyboards to that, I still don't understand if that means you have to pay $2 again?
Yes.
Or if they're going to, like, it sounds like it
that
is?
That sounds like the precedent they're making.
Yeah, but, like, it's...
You will
good
buy
luck.
Songs again.
Good luck with that,
look,
is all I
okay,
can say.
Okay, here's my final word on this. This all sounds a little fishy. A lot of uncertainty and stuff. Sinking ship.
I actually have to agree. Now, Mike, I want you to take note. I'm not fully behind Harmonix on this one.
That's
so
good.
Please appreciate this.
I thought, well, that's the first thing to go. Is like the, but and that's kind of been a thing lately now. Like, they're getting a lot of fan backlash lately. And usually, they used to be the kind of the darling and whatnot.
And the problem is...
Here's my other question. How have you been hearing from a lot of people about how much they're playing Rock Band 3? Really?
I mean, I've been playing a lot of it. I don't know. Like,
Chris, I'll tell you who hasn't been playing a lot of it. Chris, our brother, who is obsessed with Rock Band.
Well, he's also going through the most difficult semester of his collegiate
career. Oh, no, he's playing Call of Duty instead.
That's
what's happening. That's what I'm telling you, AJ. No one's playing Rock Band or Guitar Hero anymore. That fad is past. They're all playing Call of Duty.
Which is a shame, because I really like Rock Band 3, and I really like all the promo stuff they're doing. It's just, I don't know.
I really like Rock Band 3, except for its kind of subpar set list.
It's better than you think. I often run into songs like, oh, this song. Anyway, but yeah, the problem is here, I think Harmonix just needs to come out and just lay all this shit out for us and say, look, here's how it's going to work. Here's how the DLC's working. Here's the pricing structure. Yes, you do have to rebuy stuff. Here's our rationale. Like, right now, it's all speculation that, frankly, all of it makes them look bad.
Because I don't even know if they know.
Like, I understand the extra optional dollar to add pro mode guitars to a song. I can understand that, because that is an entirely other level of work that goes into it. I mean, I would imagine, like, think about charting every individual note of a guitar song. That's probably just as hard as doing the entire song for the four core instruments. It's like, I can understand that. It sucks, but I can understand it. But having to rebuy a song you already have to add harmonies and keyboard.
I'm telling you, things are not right in the land of Harmonix.
I know, they just need to figure something out here.
We'll see.
The final thing.
I don't think their big dream of, their big thing was, like, eventually, like, Rock Band was going to become a platform of its own.
Which they were moving toward until they broke this compatibility.
See, that's kind of the
bad.
That's kind of the problem with Rock Band 3 is that it adds all these features, but it's not compatible, you know.
Like I said when I talked about the game last time, the most frustrating thing about this game, especially if you're like playing on keyboard, is seeing a song and realizing, oh yeah, this doesn't have a keyboard part. And like, I understand why that's the case, because like I know how the game works and everything. But if I had a bunch of friends over and someone's playing the keyboard and I'm flipping through the pages and they do see like a Boston song, and I have to tell them, no, that's not keyboard support, and they'd be like, why? Like, I could hear it. There's an organ in the background. Like, why can't I play that? And like that won't make sense to them.
Right, they won't get it. And,
right.
All right, let's move on. I'm telling you, there's trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that rhymes with.
G as in G, we're screwed. Is that what you're going for?
Yeah. Well, P.
Nice
is
try.
Cool. Yeah. I was trying to think of, like, wait, what does our mock begin with? H? No. Dang it. All right, next.
The last thing is they did finally announce the release date for the Fender Squire Stratocaster, whatever it is. The real guitar. I mixed up my words.
Oh, another Rock Band story? Oh, my God. Yes, the real guitar thing is coming out.
Yeah, it's coming out March 1st. Pre-orders January 1st.
$250. Next. What are you, like, do you get a cut or something?
I wish. I want a guitar.
I wonder why you're pushing this on our listeners. Next.
So, an anonymous guy from a quote-unquote fledgling digital distributor is saying that Valve is killing the PC market.
Oh, I didn't hear about this. Explain.
Yeah, this might be more of a Let's Go Topical thing, but I didn't know if you knew
about
it.
That's okay. I didn't know about this. This is interesting. More anti-Valve stuff, too. This is not a good month for the typical internet sweethearts.
This is basically a guy who's losing complaining.
Okay, let's hear it.
The big beef they seem to have is how, because Steam is becoming such a ubiquitous service, games are now requiring Steam Play, which means you could buy Call of Duty Black Ops on Direct Drive, mm-hmm. but then when you install it, it's going to have you install Steam because it uses Steamworks.
Okay.
And that's like his complaint is like, I'm like giving away my customers by selling my game. The rumor goes that apparently there's some even brick-and-mortar stores in Europe who are considering to not carry games that have Steam Play support.
Hmm.
But here's the thing. Like, there's that side of it of like, they're picking on us, like, they got so big and we can't compete. But wouldn't you also agree, like, look at a service as Director Drive or Impulse compared to Steam. Or even Games for Windows Live. Is there any comparison from what they offer to what Steam offers?
Well, look, here's my thing, and I'll side with Steam on this one. you can't blame Steam that their service is too attractive and
too good,
easy
basically.
To use. So that people don't, when people see that it exists, they don't want to go to your store anymore.
Exactly. It's basically saying, like, oh, they're better at this than us, and that's not fair.
Right. I mean, you know, you lose, good day, sir, you get nothing.
But, like, for him to say it's killing the PC market.
Well, it's not killing the PC market. It's killing their opportunity to make money off the PC market.
Exactly.
Which, I mean, you know, hey, that sucks for you. I feel for you, but, I mean, you know, I guess that's where we're heading.
Make a better service.
Well, I don't even know if there's anything they can do. And I feel for him in a way. Because they really are just becoming antiquated with the process. But there's nothing to do.
You know, if my options are go to directordrive.com and, like, download a file that I saved to my computer, then run an installation, and if I ever want it again, I have to go through that whole process. Or Steam, where I just open the client, click install, it does it, and I click play. And then it also has an integrated friends list and achievements
right.
and all of that. Guess which one I'm going to pick? Mm-hmm. Sorry, you lost.
I am still slightly worried about this upcoming future where basically Steam owns PC gaming, and Valve owns PC gaming specifically.
I don't know
what that's going to mean.
The only thing I can say is so far they haven't taken advantage of the situation, and one would hope they'd maintain, but it's impossible to say what
the future
holds.
It's kind of tempting, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, with great power comes great responsibility.
Right, basically, they're taking... what if, like, you know, five more years from now, it's like... All right, you got Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, and Valve. They don't even say PC gaming. I don't know.
That would be something, all right.
Maybe. All right.
Nice. Final story I have. Instant Action, which was the kind of platform for running a full-blown game in a browser. Yeah, they're done.
Oh, that thing?
Yeah, shocker. It didn't quite fly. But the interesting thing is these guys are also the ones who own the Torque engine, which is used for a lot of, like, independent 3D games and things like that. They're trying to sell off the engine.
Anybody buying?
Not yet.
Do you want to buy an engine, AJ?
Not really.
Oh, dang it. There goes my great game idea.
What was that?
Game where there's a stupid guy named AJ, and you go and punch him, and he goes, no, no. And, like, the more you punch him, the louder and sissier his nose gets.
Wasn't it like the bajillion Flash games that were popular like 8 years ago? It was like Punch the President.
Let's Punch the President or Shoot Barney.
Yeah.
I want to make like a really sophisticated version of that, but with your dumb face and 3D.
Michael, you have wronged me, and I am now going to take my revenge on you.
Oh no, the quiz. Were you lying earlier? Is this not a fair quiz?
It's fairly fair. Like I said... I think you got a shot. We'll see.
All right. Maybe I'll impress you.
So, as we'll be talking about much more in our week in gaming, the Kinect came out last week. And to celebrate a console attachment device, we're theming this week's quiz around my personal favorite console attachment setup, the Genesis Sega CD 32X combo.
That's going to be interesting.
So, I have some questions for you.
Okay.
The Sega CD came out in America in what year?
Oh, goody. I remember it's like earlier than you would think. I want to say 1994.
1992.
Yeah, see, and no, it's earlier than you would think.
I know, right? You always kind of... So the 32X came out in America in what year?
That came out in 1994.
You are correct.
Okay, good.
Okay, now... While the Kinect is a full-body motion sensor, it is not the first of its kind. Sega also released a full-body motion sensor. What was it called?
Oh, shoot. I posted that video on Bitmob of Siskel and Ebert using it.
Yeah, we actually rented one from Blockbuster, as I recall.
It was like the action... It was like the reaction... No. I can't remember. What was it? As soon as you say it.
The Sega Activator.
Yeah, that was close. Activator. Mm-hmm. Nuts. Next.
All right, so Sega was toying with releasing a hybrid hybrid 32X Genesis. Okay, fine, smarty pants, you got that one. What was the name, I'll take either the Japanese or the American name, of the semi-portable hybrid Genesis Sega CD device?
I didn't know about this. Wow.
5,000 of them were made, making it a very rare collectible in North America.
I want to. I'm going to hope that they're still going with a planet theme at this point. Let's say the Jupiter.
Alas, no. It was called the Sega Multi Mega in Japan, or the Sega CDX.
I never even heard of that. You'd
recognize if you saw it. I remember thinking about it back in the day. It's like, oh, that would have been nice to have, but it never came out. Hmm. And your bonus question. What was the code name for the 32X?
Oh, I don't even know if I know this, actually. Sega Konas. I don't know. What is it? Is it...
Now, if the hybrid was Neptune, what do you think this one was?
Uranus?
Project Mars.
Oh, that's right. Remember, wasn't the Saturn Black Belt for a bit?
Mm-hmm.
What was the Dreamcast before it was Dreamcast?
That was, wasn't it like Duran or Dural? Or who was the final Dural. Boss in Virtua Fighter?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, people don't really kind of realize the whole planet thing Sega had going there for a while.
I was aware. I knew what was going on.
Oh, I know we did.
Saturn. All right. I still kind of thought Saturn was a cool name for system. I don't know why.
Yeah, you know, it rolled off the tongue. Sega Saturn. And then, of course, it bred the great Japanese folk hero, Segata Sanshiro.
Right, right. So I got 1 point, basically, right?
You got two. You got 1994 for the 32X and the Neptune.
Oh, that's right. The Neptune. Give me. All right.
Not a passing grade, Mike, no. Sorry, you fail.
All right, let's go topical.
Okay.
I'm jumping the gun here a little bit, but you got a Kinect.
I have a Kinect.
The Kinect has impressed you.
It has impressed me.
Now, I played a Kinect at Best Buy.
Which is, believe me, you, me, far from the ideal condition.
Like, that's what I was kind of thinking, because it wasn't working very well at all. Does it actually work?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it works fine. The problem I've noticed with it in Best Buy, for one, they didn't give it enough room. And just, you know, with people walking back and forth and going past in front of you and everything, it's far from an ideal.
It was just laggy, too. Well, what would that have to do with it?
You're playing Kinect Adventures.
Yeah. Is that game just...
Kinect Adventures is a little bit on the laggy side, but I've noticed from playing the demos of Dance Central and Yourself Fitness, which I'll get into more later, it's better there. So a lot of... It has me thinking it has to do with, A, just how good your software coding is, and I think mapping the motions to the avatar might also suck up some responsiveness there.
Okay. So, I mean, what... So you're impressed with it?
I am.
Well, I guess we'll get into specifically in, you know, our week in gaming.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm still incredibly skeptical of Kinect. Like, what is there to look forward to with Kinect, do you think? Is there anything, or is there really going to be any experiences more interesting than what we've seen at launch, these kind of minigame collections or, like, whatever?
Well, I'll tell you what, I take the mere... Is something on my computer playing music? Yes, sorry. I take the experience you get just purely from navigating the menus with your hand.
Okay, see,
let me finish. And then I extrapolate that to what I've seen of Child of Eden. And I get super excited for that.
I still don't even understand how Child of Eden works. I don't know.
Oh, I could tell you if you'd like. I understand it.
No, thank you. Okay, now this is gone.
Okay.
Making an MMO is a terrible idea for any studio.
Pretty much. So the biggest contender that World of Warcraft is probably ever going to face is going to be the Knights of the Old Republic. Haven't they said that game has cost something like $500 million so far?
Right.
That's what you have to spend to even hope to compete. Not assured success, to have a remote shot. Along with one of the biggest licenses in American pop culture, nay, worldwide pop culture history. That is your only hope.
Strauss Zelnick from Take-Two.
Yes.
I hope I'm saying that right. He gets asked a lot, like, oh, when are you guys going to make a Bioshock MMO or the GTA MMO? Here's what he said. How many MMOs have ever worked in the U.S. market? Pop quiz. 2. World of Warcraft and EverQuest.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you ever go up against those odds?
Exactly. It's like, it would be like trying to launch a competitor to HBO and Cinemax right now. and convincing people to pay for that.
I don't even, like, when I say anybody, I don't even know if it would be a smart idea for Blizzard to make another one.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been very clear to say, like, their next MMO, it's, like, not World of Warcraft. They don't want to cannibalize that audience. Because, quite frankly, they can afford it because they have the Warcraft money coming in still, and always will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, it gives them the luxury to play around. But, yeah, I mean, how many studios have been ruined by an MMO? Look at what happened with Real Time World and APB. That was a quasi-MMO.
But, like, every time, though, it's like, oh, they want to make, they're making a Fallout MMO, or, like, rumors of Bioshock MMO. Every time I'm like, why?
Yeah.
This doesn't, look at Final Fantasy XIV. That is not only did it not begin well, that is going to not end well.
Like, I would not be surprised at this point if the PS3 version was just canceled. I've been thinking about this the last few weeks now, just looking at the...
Or delayed extensively.
The response to the PC version and how well it's doing. I could totally see him going, you know what, pull the plug. It's not even going to be worth it.
The Square guys have, like, been admitting, like, yeah, there's giant problems again. We're going to fix them, we promise. It's kind of like the damage control. It reminds me of Star Wars Galaxy, where they basically released a subpar product and they had to spend money going on damage control for 5 years. And it never panned out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at Star Wars Galaxy. That's literally what happened. They went on damage control for years, pumped all sorts of money in that game, reinvented it twice, and for what?
Yeah, like I said, there are two hopes you have in the MMO space right now. One is to do the EVE Online approach, where you're not trying to have 11 million subscribers like WoW. You are content to have a very dedicated subscriber base of 500,000 people who really like your game, and you're going to involve them with the development, you're going to cater to what they want, and you're going to keep that core audience happy, and they will take care of you. And that's it. You can't get too ambitious with it. The other option is the free-to-play.
But
something like...
Go ahead.
Like, I mean, you look at Lotro and Dungeons & Dragons Online, which have been really successful since going free to play. Turbines said they've
increased their companies. I'm suspicious. Because why wouldn't they spin it positively? Do you not think that going free to play, when your game was not free to play at first, is that some sort of admission of defeat? In a way, at least. That, like, certainly couldn't make it like Warcraft, anyways. Or even
to me, it would be like this. This is the best analogy I could come up with on the spot. Imagine you're a fisherman on a dock. There's a left side of the dock and the right side of the dock. You know on the left side of the dock, there's a giant fish in there. And if you could catch this fish, you're going to be famous. And you're going to make it big, and everyone's going to talk about this fish you caught forever and ever. But it's fucking hard to catch. On the other side of the dock, there's a bajillion little fish that you could just consistently keep catching, bringing them in, selling them at markets. Now, you can try to catch that big fish and hope you get it and be famous forever, or you could just make a good, comfortable living catching the little
fish. Here's the problem, is that we romanticize the big fish. Everyone wants to be the guy who brings in the big fish.
Exactly.
And, like, you know, like every single thing we ever see as, you know, the hero rises up. I think
something like Lotro Online and Dungeons & Dragons was a guy who's trying to catch a big fish and finally goes, this is stupid. There's a ton of fish right behind me. And turns around.
That's exactly what those are. Those are projects that had grand designs, kind of wising up and saying, and no.
Right. Like, so I think it's okay. Now, what I really want to see happen is, or curious to see what will happen, it will be Guild Wars 2. Because that's going to be a case where, just like the original Guild Wars, you'll still buy it for $50, and then there's just no monthly fee. And, like, it will be some microtransactions to the game, which is fine. Like, that, I think that's going to be, honestly, going forward, the way it has to be done. If you're not going to be outright free to play, like, I don't have a problem with paying $50 for Guild Wars, and then having an option for microtransactions that I don't need and playing the game like I would any other freaking video game that I've been playing since 1986.
It would be fun to just come up with a list of all these MMOs that have come out and, like, failed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at Earth and Beyond, The Matrix Online failed.
Well, like, and sometimes it's just, like, a bad idea to begin with. Like, remember the Conan MMO?
Oh, yeah. Whose idea was that? Who was clamoring for that license?
Who fucking likes Conan that much? Like, oh my god, finally I can pretend to live in the world of Conan the Barbarian forever.
Yeah.
Like, what? You're going to put how much money into that idea? You're going to do what with it? I mean, like... I don't know. I just don't understand how anybody would want to make an MMO. Like, obviously, I know why. It's because WoW makes a bazillion dollars, and they're like, we're going to be the next WoW. No, you're
not.
There's
a giant fucking fish out there somewhere.
You're not going to be the next WoW. There's no... There is no comparison for what WoW has done.
It's impossible. It's like I said, it would not only be like trying to create a new HBO or Cinemax, but trying to supersede them. You can't.
It's even beyond that. It's just, no. You can't do it. All right, let's go on. The Call of Duty franchise clearly doesn't need Infinity Ward.
Apparently not. I mean, I could promise you, if I, like, I mean, I, you know, working at Best Buy, I've sold a shit ton of Call of Duty this week. If I were to go to someone and be like, you know, this wasn't made by the guys who made it last year, they wouldn't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. They'd turn to me and say, well, this is Call of Duty. It's the same one that came out last year, right? And I'd just probably roll my eyes and say, yeah.
Right.
But like, no one, see, I mean...
But it's not just ignorance. That's not even the point. I mean, well, that's kind of the point. It's kind of important. But still, even, like, are you saying that, well, Black Ops is bad and people don't know it? We haven't even played Black Ops.
Yeah, I haven't touched it, so I can't say anything to the quality
of
the
game. Well, let's say that it's being received well, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can agree on that.
Yeah. But, I mean, here's the thing, though. Call of Duty, here's the formula of Call of Duty now. I mean, the tech is in place. We have Infinity Ward to thank for that. The Call of Duty engine's a great engine. We can all agree with that.
Sure.
But that's done. So here's the formula. You make a military shooter, which is somewhat based in reality, so you don't have to think too hard about the weapons and everything. It's like, okay, this is an AK-47. That's what it does. It's not like Halo where you have to invent a plasma rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And then your goal is to create a globe-trotting adventure where crazy shit be happening. Like, that's the most generic setup you could think of. Anyone can accomplish that if they try.
That's true.
I mean, they're not, like, this isn't Tim Schafer making Brutal Legend and Psychonauts where there's all these creative ideas going on and all this craziness that only he could come up with, or something like a Deus Ex or even Epic Mickey where Warren Spector really has mapped out how player choice is going to affect the emotional quality of the story. It's a popcorn flick. It's Michael Bay. Like, this is complicated.
I actually like Michael Bay films.
Oh, and I do too. I don't like Call of Duty games.
Call of Duty, but... Well, I like Call of Duty games, but I don't like their stories.
But, I mean, let's face it. I mean, a Michael Bay movie... Like, how hard was Transformers to conceptualize? We're going to have these giant transforming robots who are going to blow shit up, and we need a story. Okay, well, here's a kid who finds some glasses with some writing on it. That's the story of Transformers.
And then the Transformers come down and shit be happening.
Exactly.
And there's some hacking.
It doesn't matter what happens. People go to that movie to see Optimus Prime kicking Megatron.
All right, we're talking about Transformers now. So, does Call of Duty need Infinity Ward anymore, I guess?
No.
You're saying
no?
I
don't think so.
Okay. Next. You are excited for Bejeweled 3.
What? No. I would be, except I looked at it. It doesn't look like it even does anything different.
Like, what is it exactly? What's the 3?
I don't know.
I don't know anything about Bejeweled,
really. That's what I'm saying.
Here,
let me pull up its Steam page. Maybe we could gleam some light on this subject here. Because, like I said, I kind of took a quick cursory glance at it. I don't know what makes it any different.
What could you do to make it different to be like, oh, yeah, Bejeweled 3?
Well, they did, like, what's the Facebook one? The Bejeweled Blitz.
Sure.
It's like that had, like, a time component to it, a competitive component.
Okay.
That was interesting.
I could play that for free on Facebook.
Exactly. Like, I'm looking...
I guess, like
the feature breakdown here. Like, I guess there's a quest mode.
Can I just say
Zen
something?
Zen mode. Like, I don't know.
I don't understand how our industry has simultaneously demonized the kind of minigame collections and like the Kinect and all the motion control and gimmicks and stuff like that, while at the same time putting stuff like the kind of things that PopCap Games does and other things like that on a pedestal.
Oh, people fucking love Plants and Zombies.
People in the like journalism love Plants and Zombies.
Now, could you imagine Plants and Zombies with Kinect?
It would be like, a massacre.
No, it would create a hole in the space-time continuum because it'd be such a contradiction.
But
that they
that's
know how
my
to
point,
handle
though.
It.
It's not a contradiction. Like, Plants and Zombies would be something that's on a Kinect. That's why I just don't understand. I don't understand why there's a Bejeweled 3. I don't understand why there wasn't just one Bejeweled and then we all moved on.
Right.
That's my point.
It makes a shit ton of money.
I mean, okay, I guess. All right. I don't know what else to say about it. Can you?
Should we move on?
Next, you don't have time to play a single-player game that's over 30 hours long.
Apparently not, because I love Fallout New Vegas, and I haven't even played it in a week. And I want to, but I don't have time. I don't.
Fallout New Vegas, that's kind of what I was thinking when I wrote this. I'm loving it, by the way. It is very long.
Oh, I know.
And, like, I know I could, like, go to the ending mission right now, but, like, there's definitely, like, unresolved things. There's a point where the guy's like, well, you can go here, but you should do this, 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 and this first. And now I'm doing, like, the list of other missions. And, like, the game's long, and I guess that's cool.
That's good. Yeah. That's what I wanted,
but
I knew it would be.
Is it long? It seems like a lot longer than Fallout 3 was, to me, at least.
It's similar to the MMO argument. You can't have every game coming out be this 40 to 100 hour epic because there's just not enough time in the day to play all of them.
I think the only reason I resent it a little bit is because there are so many other games I want to play right now, but like I won't play them until I beat Fallout.
Yeah, like that's why I haven't even considered touching Fable 3 yet.
Right. And like I'm having a great time with it. I'm like, oh, this is really clever. This is really neat and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is better than I thought it would be. But I don't know.
See, but then, this is the shitty position game developers are in. I feel sorry for them. Because we have this argument. It's like, oh, I don't have enough time to play these games, so I'm not going to be buying them. But then it's like, oh, it's only 6 hours long? Well, fuck, I'm not paying $60 for that.
I still don't even know if I do want to criticize it for being too long.
Right.
And because, like, again, obviously I could end the game right now, or, you know, in an hour from now at least.
But you don't want to, because you're liking it. You want to see what they got.
Right.
This is why I still feel like there's a place somewhere for mainstream gaming where a game takes 3 hours and costs $30. Why can't that happen?
Well, maybe. That'd well, because when you go through the trouble of designing a game with all these systems and whatever, you want more than 3 hours to show it off. You probably have more than 3 hours worth of ideas.
Yeah, well, so this goes into a whole other tangent about a way I think that game development needs to be severely reworked to work in a mainstream market. We could go there if you'd like.
I really don't.
Okay.
I really don't. All right, let's move on. All right, you want to buy Sonic Colors.
Yeah. Bastards.
I knew you would.
It's getting positive reviews. Like, really good reviews, actually.
They finally, they toyed with it with, like, Unleashed, and they finally kind of made it, you know, like, the 2D Sonic game again. Or not really 2D even, but just, like, you know, the next-gen Sonic game. Isn't there something...
You don't turn to a werehog, basically.
Right, but there's something attractive about Sonic Colors that wasn't in Sonic 4 that you kind of want, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it just looks aesthetically pleasing. It really does.
It looks very good for a Wii game.
It has a very good design to it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of think the whole amusement park thing is neat.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I think it was the joystick review said. It's almost like they made Sonic and Knuckles, and then that team was said, okay, now here's this Wii. Make a Sonic game. They're like, oh, we could do all this stuff now. And, like, everything else between those two games never happened.
See, yeah, it begins to sound pretty attractive.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, there's still some negative things about it. I mean, I really need to start having these things where I say we're done with Sonic, because clearly every time something comes out, we talk about it nonstop.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then again, there's so much crap out, but I want to play Sonic Colors. I definitely do. Okay, that's that. All right, tell me about your Kinect. What games did you get?
Well, I only have Kinect Adventures, because I'm kind of broke at the moment.
Okay, then how did you say it worked well if there's lag, and how do you know it's only for Kinect Adventures?
No, you get demos for Dance Central, Joyride, and Yourself Fitness.
How are those?
Really good, actually. Well, Joyride's not really good, it's fine. I kind of knew there was enough there for me in the first place. I mean, to go on a tangent, Joyride was supposed to be a free-to-play racing game on Xbox Live Arcade, and some became a $50 Kinect game. Nice try.
Right.
Anyway. So let me speak about just the device in general first. You set it up, you do, you have the option, you don't have to, of going through, like, some kind of basic posing and recognition, so that it does a good job of, when you step into the view of the sensor, it'll say, oh, that's Edge guy. I'm going to sign in his profile now. So even like if we were at like a party scenario where like people are jumping in and out of games, mm-hmm. when I step up to it, it'll see it's me, sign me in, I'll get my achievements, yada yada.
Right.
And that works really well. So, you know, the first thing you do, obviously, you start navigating the menus using your hand, you know, much like you would a Wii remote, but you're using your hand. I can't stress just, I mean, maybe it's just the kind of gadget nerd in me, but to me, for some reason, it's just a really, really cool way to navigate an interface, just like that. Like, I don't know why, but I just freaking love it. The one thing I hate, there's a separate Kinect hub, or whatever they call it, for, like, the Kinect interface. You don't use the existing, like, Xbox dashboard setup.
But wait, why do they update it for, then?
This is what I can't figure out. And I don't understand why the old one wouldn't work. Because here's what kind of pisses me off. Not everything is in the Kinect dashboard.
Oh.
For example, and this is, you know, like, the big issue right now is, like, Netflix is not Kinect-enabled, which is unforgivable. Like, I don't get that at all.
Right.
But that's a whole separate thing. So, for example, like, I can get to my friends list. I can get to my, like, downloaded media. But I can't get to my streaming media with my Kinect. Like, I see no reason for that to be the case. And, like, here's, like, even a little thing. I still use the HD DVD player on my Xbox just purely for playing DVDs. Yes, shut up. I know.
But how much like, you pay for that again?
I got it for Christmas.
Oh, no, I know. How much did it cost?
$149. Yeah. Anyway.
How much were they selling them for at the end? Like $20?
Something like that. Yeah, that's actually how much they were. They were selling the 32X for that much, too, at the end, actually. Anyway.
Well, it's in good company.
But, like, you know, in the default Xbox dashboard, I just scroll to the right, there's the Play DVD option, and I click it. Like, it's not in the Kinect hub. So, like, I can't use my Kinect to navigate to that, which is annoying to me, because I like using my Kinect to navigate to stuff. So they just need to get everything in there, I guess. I don't know why they didn't to start with, but hopefully they do. Because the thing is, I really like using Kinect to control my media. To give you an example, I was using the ESPN3 app to watch the Virginia Tech game a couple weeks ago. And my friend was coming over for dinner, and she came in, the game was on, I was in the kitchen, and she started going on and on about how there were cows in this commercial or something, because she likes cows. So I walk in the room, she's like, "You missed the cows." So I said, "Okay, Xbox, pause." Held up my hand, grabbed the timeline, scrubbed it till in the thumbnail, I saw the cows, literally threw it down into the video feed, it started playing, then I say Xbox pause, and it stopped on the cows. And then she was just kind of looking at me like, what did you just do?
She probably thought you were a big nerd.
No, but she actually thought it was cool because it totally worked. Okay. That's the point. Like, when it comes to controlling media with this thing, it's awesome. They have, like, you know, everyone talks about the gesture stuff, but I think the most impressive thing it does, almost, is the voice control. When you first set up the Kinect, it'll take, like, a moment to get, like, a sound profile of, like, the ambient noise in your room, so that it knows to cancel that out. And it also knows, like, what audio the Xbox is putting out, so it knows to cancel that out as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, the voice commands have been, literally, for me, 100% accurate. Like, I had Last.fm just playing while I was cleaning my apartment. I'm in the kitchen. A song I don't like comes on. I don't turn the face it. I don't do anything out of the ordinary. I just very casually say, Xbox, next. Skips to the next song. It's really, okay. really
no,
cool
that's just
how
all
that
cool,
works.
But I'm still concerned about it as a game-playing mechanism.
Okay, so let's move to that. So, Kinect Adventures, which is what everyone will have. Yes, there is some lag to the game.
There was a lot of lag. And it was kind of hard when... And look, lag is pretty bad with reflex-based games.
Yeah, with the game, what's it called? The one that everyone knows.
Breakout.
Breakout, yeah. That one's a little bad, because, yeah, you do have to kind of move quickly to react to where these things are going, and if you don't anticipate where you're going, you're going to miss stuff. So that one...
But that seems like the one point where they should have been like, this is how Kinect... That should be, like, the one thing Kinect does. Like, yeah. That was, like, the one game to show off, like, well, this is something you can do with Kinect. This is an obvious thing. and it doesn't work. Do you not see how I am immediately distressed about
no,
the whole idea?
No, yeah, I can understand it. I think it was a mistake on their part to not better tune that.
Yeah, I agree.
But on the other games, I honestly, like you might notice if you really pay attention to it, but after a little while, when you just kind of just get into the groove of playing the game, you don't notice it. I mean, I know it sounds like I'm just saying this to be a Kinect fanboy or whatever, but you genuinely don't. When you're doing, like, the river raft stuff and you're doing the, like, the mountain obstacle courses, it's fine. It honestly is. And, the act of even in my apartment by myself playing Kinect Adventures, I'm having a blast with it. It's actually a really fun game.
I'm sure it's fun. But is it... It's fun in the same sense that, you know, playing Twister is fun.
It's fun in the same sense that playing Wii Sports Resort is fun.
I know, but, like, aren't we... haven't we all kind of agreed rather recently that that is dumb now?
Well, no. I mean, we agreed that now the action of a sports minigame collection where it's literally sports is getting played out.
No, just in general. Like,
I don't know. I mean, fun is fun, Mike.
Oh, okay. See, now you sound like one of the reps for Nintendo or Microsoft. And look, I'm just trying to say, you know what? I think I'll say it. I think I've jumped on the anti-motion control bandwagon.
Okay.
I think I'm sick of it. I think
that's
have...
That's fine.
Well, cause, and look, after we've had it for 5 years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have seen literally nothing of value come from it.
Probably true.
Right? So it's it's hard to get me on board now.
Well, let me move on now, because still on the point of Kinect Adventures, I guess. Let me add this. There is, I think, especially when you spend more time with it, a much more tangible difference in what you get out of this, purely from the fact that it is full body and not just a controller
in your
hand.
It's a great gimmick. It's going to sell shit tons, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to do nothing for our industry. Well, I mean, it might send it in a place where, you know, it might change the industry, I guess. It won't do anything positive for it.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's like, I mean, I played the tennis game on the Wii where I just stood in place, and at first I was, you know, getting into it, really swinging the Wiimote like it's a tennis racket, blah, blah, then realize, oh, I just have to flick my wrist and it still
right.
works.
See, that's...
But... when you play, like, the River Raft Adventure, even when you're by yourself, I'm literally darting around my living room to make this raft move around, and I'm jumping in the air, and you can't fake it. You have to do it, and it's really fun to do it.
I get that. I get it. I'm not saying that this stuff isn't fun, AJ, but I don't see much value in it.
Let me talk about some of the other games.
You could do a whole argument, like, what value is there in normal games, but...
Right.
I don't like this.
Okay. I mean, here's the thing. You don't have to. I mean, that's the thing everyone's saying. It's not for us.
And,
blah,
like,
blah, blah.
And
that's true.
And I'll go over your apartment, Jay, and we'll play it, and I'll have fun. I will. Mm-hmm. I don't like this.
Okay.
This is not going to go anywhere good. And you know that. What's the best case scenario with all this stuff?
Best case? I don't know. Microsoft sells more consoles.
Not from there. Oh, well, are you gonna pull the bullshit that these people are going to start playing real games thing?
You were the first to say,
and I'll give you credit for this, to say, to point out, like, you know, these people who are playing Wii Sports are not moving on to Zelda.
No. This is the point I was going to make. Microsoft sells more consoles, more Kinects, which now means it's a viable product, so the guys like Epic, like Bungie, like, you know, Call of Duty.
Don't
say, okay, this, like, we can now implement this in our games, and there's enough of an audience there to make it worthwhile.
They can't do that because it'll always be a have not, or, you know, have or have nothing. Because they can't make a substantial game with Kinect with the controller also, because not everyone will have Kinect. So then you have to have the backup version. Well, you can also do it without it, which will compromise the Kinect version. Right?
The only other thing that could happen, like, there does become that critical mass point where it does have enough, not 100%, but enough, and then the inclusion, like, could you imagine, let's say Activision says, okay, you know what, enough people have Kinect, fuck it, we're going to go ahead and make the next Call of Duty use Kinect. That will the rest of the people who want to play Call of Duty to be like, shit, okay, well, I guess I'm getting a Kinect now.
But see, they'll never do that because there's not more money into in it for them. There isn't. Right? That is literally a risk for no reason. But this,
unless,
but,
the,
unless
the only,
but there's
the
no
only
there's
way
no
there's
one,
money
there's
in
no
it.
Incentive for Activision to sell Kinects.
There is, and you know what it is.
What?
Microsoft says, yeah, we'll help fund the development of the next Call of Duty. Microsoft can and has done that.
Okay. I don't know about that. I mean, I can't really say. I have no reason to say. I have no proof to say that won't happen, but I don't know. But like, it's just, these games are a lot of promise. But I mean, think about the promises of the Wii and stuff, like how this is first-person shooters are going to work a lot better on the Wii. No, the hell they didn't. Mm-hmm.
The GoldenEye Special Edition bundle comes with a classic controller.
Yeah, the lightsaber thing, no. Sword fighting doesn't work either. The only time here are the two best implementations of the Wii remote. Use it as a pointer. Like, literally, it points at things. It's like a cursor. You might as well have a mouse. Or hold it sideways and play it like a fucking NES controller.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's, you know, I guess, you know, maybe it's not fair to use the Wii as an example for Kinect.
Oh, anecdotal story, just because you made me think of it. I had a woman and her younger son come into Best Buy. They wanted to try out Metroid Other M. It was a fucking disaster.
Yeah, I don't think that went well at all.
Trying to get them to understand that you had to rotate the controller, it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And I was like, you know, to me as a gamer, I saw it as like, this is kind of weird but kind of cool. I see what they're doing here. Trying to explain it to someone who didn't even know how to work a controller to begin with. I watched that happen and I said, shit.
So see, that's the problem. When we say we want things where like, oh, let's combine Kinect into real games, that'll actually make games more complicated, which is the exact opposite of what they want to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends what you do. Like I said, I still maintain that I think like a first-person shooter with head tracking could be really cool.
That's a whole nother issue. I feel like maybe Kinect isn't good enough to do what it needs to do. I guess we should stop beating up on the Kinect now.
Well, here, let me talk about the other three games.
I guess so. Now that I've talked about how much Kinect is stupid and I hate it.
Joyride, it's a fun little diversion. It's not a $50 game. But it does work, you know, the whole steering with your hands out in front of you and leaning back.
But there's no way to accelerate, right?
Well, it's always accelerating.
Well, it's
you're controlling boosting and power sliding. The argument I've heard for it, and it does make sense, it's just like how in Wii Tennis, you didn't need to move. You were just worried about swinging the racket.
But you can't use that as an excuse. So with the Kinect, with something as simple as a racing game, mm-hmm. which we have had forever, it cannot function as well as like the original OutRun.
Yeah.
Right?
Here, let me counter your argument. You're playing Mario Kart. Unless you're avoiding a Koopa shell, so that's something unique to that game, how often are you hitting the brakes?
You gotta slide and stuff.
Yeah, and you can slide in this game. When you lean your body,
it starts
to power slide.
You gotta brake and get
slide.
Out of the way for things all the time. It's not necessarily just coming to a dead stop. Brake, you know, the ability to control your speed is important.
And
not
can.
Just
you
with no,
boosting.
Not just with this. I don't like it. You know what I'm saying? You know I made my point. You know it was a good one.
I know. I'm playing my devil's advocate.
I know. Okay. What else did you play? Is there a Kinectimals thing?
I haven't played it yet. I want to though. Apparently, it's actually pretty good.
Do you think this thing could play Milo?
I guess the voice recognition works well.
Oh, Milo.
Anyway, Dance Central. Really, really, really good, actually. I never thought I'd have that much fun standing in my living room by myself dancing to Poker Face.
It's like a thing where you have to, like... I read that it doesn't work well as, like, a party game, though, because, like...
If you're going to do it as a party game, play on easy. Because that's at least... It keeps everything simple enough that you can figure out what's going on the fly. And, you know, you can't be doing it competitively. It's just to have some goofy fun, get some...
Right.
You get your friends, have a few drinks, and like, oh, let's try to dance. And let's
but, like, as, like, as an actual game, though, like, you have, basically have to, like, practice and learn.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, it much like the promo like in Rock Band.
You know, the Rock Band thing. Fair enough.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. And honestly, too, it's a pretty good aerobic workout, really. Well, especially,
sure.
Like,
you're moving.
You know, you crank it up to the higher difficulty, and you're doing all kinds of crazy shit. The tracking works fantastically on it. They have that whole system where, like, the avatar dancing on screen, it's not you. That's what you're following. But then, like, if you're not moving your right arm correctly, the right arm of the avatar glows red. So that's how you know, okay, I need to check that. And you get the little feedback window of yourself. And like I'm saying, in that game, there's no real lag associated with it. There's still some. But it's not, like, as bad as it is in Adventures. And it doesn't really affect the game. And then, like, it'll do, like, you'll get these freestyle moments where then a silhouette of you takes up the full screen with all these crazy lighting effects. You get to just do what you want, and while you're doing it, it's taking pictures of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's cool. And also, and then this will kind of go into my yourself fitness thing, too. Here's another problem with the Kinect as a platform. We're kind of in the wild west of what's going to be the accepted interface design for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, all three of these games use three different interfaces.
Right.
Kinect Adventures is basically like the Kinect dashboard, where you have the cursor on screen, you move your hand, highlight over a button, it fills up, and it selects, which is fine. And then Dance Central uses a system where, by raising and lowering your right arm, you are highlighting an option, and then you just swipe your hand from right to left to select that option, which also works. Then in Yourself Fitness, when you first start up the game, it does a body scan of you, and it actually measures your arm length and things like that, and then it creates a custom radial menu around you that is actually tuned to the length of your arm.
It seems like they need to standardize it, right?
Yeah. The thing is, all three of them work really well. I think they just need to pick one.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with Kinect a year from now.
Yeah. Now, so you just go into Yourself Fitness. So this is the one they showed E3 where, like, it's instead of, like, an avatar or silhouette, it's an actual three-dimensional polygonal thing of you. It's really, really cool. Normally, it's just like a kind of abstract color shade on you. And it happened once. I feel like it was an accident. Like, it wasn't supposed to. But it was just superimposing the video feed of me onto the 3D model. So it was a real-time motion tracking 3D model of me in a game. And I was looking, I was like, shit, this is actually working. This is really fucking cool. And I don't know what it was, but, like, that made me think, okay, this is where this needs to go. I don't need to control my little avatar. Whatever. I want to be me in these games. Like, that's really cool. The only game they give you in the demo is, like, the one where you're punching the blocks. But that was mm-hmm. super responsive. Like, no lag that I noticed at all in that one, actually. So that worked really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, I probably on my roadmap of Kinect games to get, it's probably going to go, like, Dance Central, Yourself Fitness, and Kinectimals in no particular order. And it's probably going to be a while. But that's, like, where I'm kind of leaning towards with all this.
What Kinect games are on the horizon, if any?
So, we had all those Japanese announcements, things like Child of Eden and the new Steel Battalion and everything. They haven't really been talking too much about it, which is, I wish they would.
I feel like there's a bit of a wait and see.
Yeah. I mean, they moved their sales estimates from 3 million to 5 for the holiday. That's pretty substantial.
It looks like it's going to be a very big holiday item. I think it's going to do pretty well. Because when you show something like that, it has an immediate appeal.
Also, can I admit a dirty, dark secret to you, Mike? When next you visit my apartment, you may notice that the layout of my furniture is completely different.
Yeah, that's... Isn't that great?
I actually do like it better. But yes.
You moved your furniture for the
thing. I did.
Oh, my God. Oh, right, let's move on. I'm sick
okay.
of it. I'm done with it. All right. You have anything else you want to talk about? Can I just do my
stuff? Yeah, go ahead. I don't think I actually really play anything else.
I guess I've mostly been playing Fallout, and it's been really cool. Been long with no end in sight, really. I got Call of Duty, just been doing online stuff with, like, my friends. It's very Call of Duty-y, but, you know, it's fun. But, yeah, I mean, to me, there's no... And this is someone who did not play a whole lot of them. There's no real discernible difference.
Have you tried those modes where you're, like, gambling and it has all that craziness
yet? No, because, like, you know, people I play with, all they want to do is team deathmatch over and over again. And, like, I guess, you know, that's the standard bearer, so fine. I mean, you know, it's fun. Well, I do like the new perk with the RC car. So, you know, it's just like anything else with, like, a yearly installment. These small things they can do, and they're neat. And the RC car is cool, so you drive it around, and you get next to somebody, and you blow it up. But, you know, I haven't tried out the single-player campaign. I heard that the story is much more cohesive this time, which I'm anxious to see, because I thought Modern Warfare 2 stories in that.
Yeah, it was jumbled. They tried to cram a ton of exposition into 30-second loading screens, and you're like, wait, who am I now? Where am I?
You would do things in those missions in Modern Warfare 2 that were never brought up again. There's like, one mission where you had to, like, go find somebody. And this person was in a suit, and it was never explained who this person was.
Oh, yeah, and then, like, they reused his model again, but it was, like, just some random dead body. Remember that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Is this game still, like, are you still multiple people, like, globetrotting around, jumping willy-nilly from character to character? Do you know?
Like I said, I haven't done anything.
I hate that. I feel like...
I need to
just focus on one character.
I am kind of sick of the sort of, like, mission structure. Even Halo does this. I don't really like when it's, like, the mission structure. And, oh, there's the loading screen. We're talking about what you're doing. And it's kind of very level-based.
Yeah, I mean, at least, like, I feel like Halo Reach did a better job of at least connecting the missions. And, like, even a lot of, like, within missions, there was, like, get in this helicopter. We're going to fly over here so you can see where you're going. And now you're over here. And this is going to happen.
See, I'm still kind of spoiled. I still kind of love the Half-Life 2 way where it's, like, as soon as you start playing... You literally...
It's real time.
Literally
yeah.
move the whole time to where you're going next. And, like, that is still so impressive to me that if you can make a game that does
something
like
true.
That. Where, like, you know, it's never like, this level's over. Here's the next level. Just go.
Yeah.
Go, 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 go. I still think that's cool. But, you know, so that's that. You know what I did today?
What'd you do?
I played a little bit of Minecraft.
You know, I was just thinking, I really need to try that.
The free version. Yeah, because, like, everyone's been talking about it. So I tried the free version, which doesn't really have any of the mining in it or so much of the crafting. It's pretty much just you have blocks, you can make some things. But it was still really cool, and I could definitely see how that could be a very big thing for me, which I think I might let it be. Because it kind of taps into that thing that I love about Roller Coaster Tycoon, where you're just making things.
Right.
It's just kind of, you know, it's fun. And, like, you could just, like, challenge yourself, like, make something bigger or add on to this. Like, I built, like, what just like a little bit I was playing, I built a tower, like a generic castle tower, and I'm like, well, I'll make a little connector thing now, then I'll add another tower to that one. And then, like, I had a courtyard, and I'm like, well, maybe I can make towers rise from the middle, and, like, you know, at the end, I had, like, a serviceable castle,
right.
You know? It was neat.
Cool.
So, I mean, I guess, like, when you get the real version, there's, like, that whole added thing with, you know, the zombies at night, and there's the whole, you know, you actually have to go and, like, chop down trees to get the wood to make things, or you have to go mine to get things. That element was kind of missing. But it still seemed really neat. I definitely see, like, how that game could be trouble. All right, then.
You want to talk about where you were last week?
Oh, yeah. You know, the problem with it is, like, I still don't know technically what I'm allowed to talk about, what I'm not allowed to talk about.
I think you can talk about where you were and what you basically
did. Sure, like, yeah, I went to an Epic Mickey event in Disneyland, and Disney flew me out and put me up in the hotel room, which was really, you know, fun. It's interesting, though, because, like, and that's, like, a whole interesting thing about, like, because, you know, we generally have talked about this before, that's shady, right?
Yeah.
For them to fly people out and put them up in hotel rooms and, like, basically treat them like
royalty for a day.
Treat them like, and I was treated like royalty. And I, the nice thing about me is that I work at Bitmob, and that's what I was doing it for. And, like, I don't have to review the game, so I'm not under pressure. Like, I said the right stories about it, but they want me to write stories about it so people know about their game. And, you know, that's obviously why they are treating me as such. But, you know, you have to say, when your normal job right now is greasing pizza pans, it was a very nice experience and very welcomed. But, I mean, the whole experience was just really cool. I got to talk to Warren Spector a lot about
that. I got a text message from you that says, I just rode Space Mountain next to Warren Spector.
Yeah, I did ride it next to him. And I guess, like, I know I'm allowed to talk about the tour he took us on, but that doesn't really pertain to the game a whole lot. took us on a tour of Disneyland. There's like a lot of like, oh, we're gonna skip the lines and ride the rides and stuff. And yeah, I made sure I was next to Warren Spector at Space Mountain. I basically awkwardly told him like, hey, I'm gonna sit next to you at Space Mountain. He's like, yeah, okay, I guess. I'm like, yes, that's right.
You told him. I see.
I literally did. But that was fun. We got to go see Walt Disney's apartment on top of the firehouse. And see, it was almost like it's weird because I'm allowed to talk about the tour right now, and that's a lot more for like the Disney geeks.
You and I are going to talk about that after we're done recording.
Right, and they let me play Epic Mickey for a couple hours, but I'm still not sure what I'm allowed to say about that or anything, so I'm kind of choosing not to. I'll tell you I liked it.
Okay.
But I can't go into specifics, and there were some cool things going on. But it was weird because they called it a review event, but and I don't have much experience in review events, but I assume that review events were where they put you in a hotel room and you played the whole game.
Right.
And that it wasn't that. And because they gave us two embargoes. They said the embargo on the tour stuff was lifted on the 8th. There was a separate embargo for reviews. Mm-hmm. It was like the 23rd or something. I'm like, well, I can't review the game based off the 2 hours.
Right.
So I'm like, well, what about the embargo for what I played there? You know, it's confusing because I don't know what to write about. Well, not what to write about. I already wrote my story, but I don't know I don't know if I can say that much about
it.
Fair
enough.
But so there's that. But it was a very cool experience, and hopefully I'll be able to say more about it at some point before the game's release. So you'll still hear. I'll still be able to, you know, it'll still be new to you, I guess. Is there any questions you have about it, you, from the perspective of our listeners? Did I leave anything out that you think they would want to know about it?
No.
All I
know is I just got a phone call from you 2.5 weeks ago. It was like, prepare to be more jealous of me than you've ever been in your entire life.
It all happened very quickly. And there's like I said, that whole thing is very interesting that, like, and I'll be the first to admit that it's kind of a shady practice. Mm. And
it's a hell of a lot more fun when you're the one being flown around.
Right, exactly. That's kind of like, you know, don't, you know, walk a mile in someone else's shoes before you criticize them. Whatever.
I mean, you know, to play the conceit of this, too. I mean, I think some other journalists have had this argument, too. Like, everyone's like, oh, you shouldn't accept that, blah, 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 and it's a bribe. It's like, well, if you don't accept it, then you can't cover the game. So it's like you kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know?
Right. Well, I know Kotaku has, like, a policy now where they don't go to any review events. And they say, well, Kotaku, to be frank, can afford to do that because they're Kotaku.
Right.
It was one thing I loved about it was I got to meet so many other people in the industry, game journalists. Mm-hmm. Met a lot of nice guys, some nice guys from Game Trailers, Game Pro, Nintendo Power, Machinima.com. We met a lot of nice people. It was cool. Destructoid, I want to say. I kind of feel bad talking to this guy. I'm like, man, I hope he's never heard the quote before about Jim Sterling.
Yeah.
Like, this guy definitely knows Jim Sterling. But it'd be funny if Jim Sterling was there.
Oh, you'd be like, oh, hey.
Hi, Jim Sterling.
I don't despise your writing.
I'll tell you what, I don't even know what to think about Jim Sterling anymore. There are moments where I have admiration for him and what he kind of does.
He's a maverick.
Well, you have to appreciate the fact that he says, you know what, I actually am going to use every number in the 10-point grading system. And screw you if you don't like it.
I just think he's wrong.
Sure. I wouldn't be mad at a person if I disagree with him. I was mad at him because I legitimately thought that he was kind of being overzealous about it and maybe doing it for just, like, attention.
Yeah.
Now I really do believe he just kind of has interesting tastes. Maybe the one thing I would say is that maybe his tastes are too kind of almost against the norm to be the lead reviewer for a major game site. And I don't even as I say that sounds like, well, what the heck? You can't just find someone who has a general consensus about things. But it's kind of weird if you're trying to sell, you're trying to tell the general consumer if a game's good or not. You should be kind of close to what
it was like. It was like having James Milkey review every like loot whoring JRPG for 1UP back in the day.
Right. It was like James Milkey was saying, like, "Well, this game is an A+."
He gave like Kingdom Under Fire an Xbox an A. It's like, really? He's like, I liked it because there was loot. Like, okay.
Exactly. There's a lot of interesting things about that. Maybe we'll bring it up next week because this show's gone on long enough.
Indeed.
I still have shit to do.
Let's do some releases.
Oh God, that's right.
Yeah, I could do them. I'll fly through them for you.
No. I got them. We got Call of Duty Black Ops on everything you can imagine. Majesty 2, the Battles of Ordania, the epic battles indeed. The Fight, Lights Out for PS3.
People fucking have been dying for this game, and I've been trying to explain them how, you know, it's not going to actually be like whatever you do, that guy will do. But Sony marketed it as such, and people bought it.
Right, and there it is. Football Manager 2011 Mac, I don't know. Monster Jam, Path of Destruction, also for a lot of systems. I'm just going to say that from now on. The Sly Collection. I didn't even know that came out.
I didn't either.
There
Move
it
support
is.
In 3D.
PS3. Yeah. Rune Factory 3, a Fantasy Harvest Moon. Ooh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I always wanted to try one of these. That's on the DS. Tom Clancy's Hawks 2 came out on the Wii. B-Blade. B-Blade. Metal Fusion. Battle Fortress for the Wii. That's like the new... What was that game? Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh! It's like the new Yu-Gi-Oh! Instead of like cards, it's with like those weird. Remember those battle tops we used to have as children?
Oh yeah,
we had Power Rangers ones. It's like that. They found a way to like make that the next thing, and then you collect them. I'll tell you what. Seriously, if I was like 12 again, I would be all over that shit.
Probably true. Yeah.
I would have all these games. I'd have so many fucking tops spinning all the time. And collecting them all. Seriously, I would be so fucking into it. And you know
I would probably be too. And then 10 years later, we'd be moving our parents and find a 50-gallon tub full of tops. Much like we found a 50-gallon tub filled with Pokemon cards.
Here's my interesting question. How do you make some of the tops better than other tops?
I don't know, the weight ratios?
Like, it's not like they have special abilities. This one has a minigun attachment. Huh? What?
This one has spikes.
By the way, you know what game was fucking awesome? Crossfire.
Yeah.
Awesome song in the commercial,
in
too.
The Crossfire.
Crossfire. Crossfire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Okay. Thanks for listening to
the Explained Battle of Giants, Dinosaur Strike for the Wii, and Karaoke Revolution Glee.
Funny thing, like that was like one of their big games when I was at the Konami press conference.
Oh, you don't think that's gonna sell a shit ton?
I don't even know anymore. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week on the Explain Barrel podcast. But first, you can find more of us at iTunes.
You're all out of order.
I am. You better take
okay,
over.
Look.
I'm a mess. I am pretty tired.
Yeah, that's weird. Usually, you're like wide awake at this point. Anyway, thanks for listening, to Exploding Barrel podcast. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. The iTunes Music Store and the Zune Marketplace. You also follow us on twitter.com/explodingbarrel. See? How hard was that?
It was so hard. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Adieu.